talk New York sports on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right. 203 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you. Got you for three more hours. 888-808-1019. Just an awful night for the Mets. One of those games, you know, in my mind, it's a little easier to flush. You got beat. You got beat by a Dodgers team that, you know, kind of needed this game. The pitching matchup was in their favor. I don't know how often that's going to be in this series, quite honestly. The lineup looked good for the Dodgers, at least. You got Freddie Freeman hobbled running around, beating you. I mean, he could barely move. You know what? I saw one thing from Freeman that I thought I respected. One, he can barely move, right? He literally falls into the arms of Mookie Betts after scoring that run. But I forget what inning it was, but he had an easy ground out, right? He hits a ground ball to second base. He gets thrown out. He can barely run. So he doesn't run hard to beat it out, nor should he. But he runs all the way to first. He's out by a mile. He's out halfway down the line. He finishes out the run and runs all the way to first base, touches first base, and then runs back to the dugout. I was like, I don't know if I respect it. I don't know if it's stupid. I don't know. I don't know why I'm even bringing it up. But I was like, man, that's Freddie Freeman in a nutshell. This guy's impossible to get out. This guy's one of the great hitters of the generation. He's been sticking it to Met fans forever. And right now, they were just better in this game. Every aspect of it. I mean, the Winker play, the base running, they didn't have a lot of base runners, but the Winker play, I don't even understand what happened. I jumped in my car as soon as the Giant game ended because I had to be here in time to hear the last hour and a half of it. And I couldn't understand. If there's Winker sound or some sort of explanation, I have no idea. I understand he got fooled. So he's on first. Iglesias gets the base hit. He rounds second, heading to third. He's going to get to third. I don't know why he stops. But even if you just say there, he stops. He thinks he's going to be out. He thinks he's made a mistake. He stops in between. The throw comes into second base. Once the throw is behind you, just book for third. Instead, he runs towards third, watching Kiki Hernandez the entire way at second base, to the point where when he finally gets thrown out, he is literally less than speed walking into the bag. I have no idea what he is doing. None. Getting caught up in the middle is bad enough. Not making a decision and walking to get tagged out at third blows my freaking mind. I've never seen anything like it. I don't know if he thought he was going to get into a rundown and try and help Iglesias get to second base. I have no idea what he is thinking, but I've never seen somebody give up on a play where he clearly would have been safe. If he just breaks it for third, he's safe. He's standing on third base, even with the stop in the middle. Then you get to the defense and Pete Alonso throwing a lollipop to second base. What was that? And he's been great defensively. It's hard to kill him. But it was just one of those nights where nothing went right. Marte doesn't handle the ball in the outfield. Alonso throws the pop-up. Winker out on the bases. Like, nothing went right. Terrible at bats from Vientos in big spots. Getting shut down by Flaherty. Nothing. Senga, Buto, even Peterson, who's been great down the stretch, wasn't very good in this game. Nothing went right for the Mets. And they got beat 9-0. You move on. Terrible game one. The benefit of a 7-game set. You lose game one like this in a 5-game series. You lose game one like this clearly in a wild card 3-game series. It feels like, oh man, we are screwed. You are not screwed after game one. You are not. This is an opportunity to get right back into this thing. And this is not, like, as far as the Mets go, we haven't seen signs of this. What we have seen signs of the offense being shut down early in games, absolutely. But we have not seen signs of poor play in every aspect of the game. And again, I think the manager had a bad night. Whether you agree with starting Senga or not, and I'm not calling him a puppet in any way, that's probably not just the Mendoza decision. I don't like starting him. I don't like him being a part of this rotation. I don't like him being a part of this series, quite honestly. And I've said that from the beginning. But But if you're only going to have him for three innings and you realize he has nothing after one, go get him. It made no sense to bring him back out. And then when you know Buto doesn't throw back-to-back days, why is Buto in this game? Why is Buto in this game? And it also leads to roster decisions, quite honestly. Like, if you know you're throwing Senga in this series possibly twice, now I don't know if they'll throw him twice, but if you're throwing Senga in the series possibly twice, why are you not having guys like Ottavino who can give you innings late in games if it goes the wrong way? Why is Buto in this game? Now he's out. Him and Peterson are out. Now you still have, I'm not saying they're depleted in the bullpen. I think you could probably still go to Reed Garrett again, even though he pitched in this game. You're going to have Stanek. You're going to have Maton. You're going to have Diaz for multiple outs, whether it be 6-5, 4-3, whatever. So the bullpen, and especially with Manaea, you don't expect to be into the bullpen that early. So they're not screwed next game, but you never know when you might need a Buto. I don't understand using him in the situation he was brought into, and he wasn't very productive in this game. So I thought the manager had a bad game. I thought the defense had a bad game. The base running, the offense, the pitching, everybody had a bad game. They got absolutely their doors blown off. You wipe it. You wake up the next day. Tomorrow, today is a brand new day. You go out there and attack it, and I still think they have an opportunity to win this series. But it is a bit of a wake-up call because we've been on this magical ride from the New York Mets, and they haven't had a game like this, and they haven't been beat like this. And they went through Philadelphia, honestly, besides a couple of innings from your bullpen, like a hot knife through butter. You're not going to go through the Dodgers like this. This is going to be a long, hard-fought series if you're going to win it. If you're going to win it, it's going to be a hard-fought series. If you're going to lose it, it could be quick, especially after this game one. Let's see how the Mets respond. What have they done all year? What have we measured this Mets team by? What is their calling card? How they respond. This isn't the gut punch necessarily. This is a punch in the face. This isn't the kick in the nads, had the game won and blew it, or late game heroics from another team. We've seen that up late in game two against Milwaukee. They blow that game. Up three runs in game two against Philadelphia. They blow that game. Come back, blow it again. Those are gut punches. Those are ones that sting. This wasn't a gut punch. This is a first inning punch, right hook, right to the face. How do they respond? How do the Mets respond? Because every time we've asked that question, you know the answer we've gotten. It's gotten them here in the NLCS against the Los Angeles Dodgers. How do they respond today? 888-808-1019. Let's go to Limo Driver Ed. What's up, Ed?
Good morning, buddy. Hey, me and you were talking about that.
Yeah.
About, sort of thing last week when we said is, why are you bringing him in here? And yeah. This time, mm-hmm. I think it's coming from upper management. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah, on some level, absolutely.
They think
he's their most talented pitcher. He's their ace. He's got a pitch nobody right. hits. And if they can, right. even if it's for a few innings, if they can get a dominant Senga, which,
right.
it'll serve them better than throwing guys they don't trust as much, I guess. But
right. And the thing is, it backfired on him. But they're saying he only supposed to get 40 pitches. What do you mean 40 pitches? See, they thought there's going to be one of them. And I think it has went to the Mets' head. They've been coming back. They've been all this and that. And like you said, they got their ass kicked. They did.
No, they got their ass kicked last night, yeah.
And they did. And I think it has went to their head because everybody then said, look at them. They done got these other runs and came back. And it has. They're going to have to wake up. And I hope this is a wake-up call for them. And
yeah.
Let's get back and do what we got to do. But you're right. And like my boy Aaron Rodgers says, just relax. LAX. Uh-oh, that's the airport. Relax.
You're on your way there.
Relax.
No, listen, thank you for the call, Ed. Yeah, I certainly don't think it's panic time. I don't think there should be no panic, not with the Mets, not with the fan base. This is not a panic moment. They lost game one of a seven-game series on the road to a Los Angeles Dodgers team that won 98 baseball games. This should not be panic. It is a bit of a wake-up call that, as this goes along, much like, Mike Tyson's punch out, you're going to get, it gets harder as you go along. I mean, this is Soda Popinski. You're not dealing with Glass Joe. It gets harder as you go through it. So, this is a wake-up call that the Dodgers are good. And yeah, the Dodgers are on the brink. The Dodgers haven't given up a run now. You want to talk about the Dodgers pitching? I think, what was it, the second inning of Game 3 where they gave up the sixth spot to San Diego? You're talking about three consecutive games and seven or eight innings of zero runs. So we could talk about their rotation. We could talk about their bullpen, the bullpen games they've had to throw. They're on a streak right now of giving up no runs. This offense has got to find it. They've got to respond. They got to go score. They got to take it right back. And it's putting, this is the fear of losing game one. Now this is a must. It feels like a must win. Is it really a must win? No, they don't go home if they lose. But with your best pitcher on the mound, and that's who Manaea is, there is no doubt about it. Manaea on the road in Los Angeles, game two, to try and steal home field advantage away. Because if you lose this game and they beat Manaea, now you're going to head home, and it won't be panic necessarily, but then you would be getting into the must-win category. But this is an enormous game, and there's a lot riding on Manaea. You've got an offense that was completely shut down. You got a bullpen that went through some of its deeper guys. Still got guys, no doubt. The bullpen's not depleted necessarily, but you can't have him out of this game in the third or fourth inning. Like, he's got to go deep into this game. Big pressure on Manaea later tonight.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Swing on a high fly to left. Back goes Melendez on the track. He's at the wall, and she's gone. A Stantonian home run. He drove a high fly deep left into the Yankee bullpen to give the Yankees a 3-2 lead. Giancarlo, no si può scopparlo.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 2:22. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Yeah. All right, let's just get to the calls because we haven't taken that many. We're getting in late after the postgame of that despicable Giant performance. And we'll get to the Giants and that offensive display. I mean, that game went it didn't go anywhere near where I thought it was going to go. That game played out completely different than I would have expected. I mean, maybe not the Giants offense, but the Giants defense. If you would have told me the Cincinnati Bengals were going to score 17 points, I would have thought the Giants might even be in the game. Crazy me. But ugly loss from the New York Giants, who are now 2-4. Welcoming in the Eagles next week. But the story is the Mets, they will have to turn their hopes and dreams to Sean Manaea for a game two after getting thoroughly beaten down by the Dodgers in game one, 9-0. We'll get to the Yankees as well, as obviously today is game day for the Yankees too. There's a discussion around the game one starter for the New York Yankees as well as the New York Mets. We'll get to it all as we get you till 5 o'clock in the morning, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Westfield. What's up, Steve?
Chris, I'm sure you're aware that in history, people that have come up with discoveries are often hated, discredited until later on in life after they're dead, usually. Okay. People realize they're right. I have a theory, and of course you're going to say I'm crazy.
Right, who's Galileo in this situation?
Well, it's me.
Oh, you're Galileo. Okay.
Yeah, and I believe that this year I've been listening to Joe Beningo, and he's optimistic about the Mets. And as you
Why
know,
wouldn't
he's
you be?
The biggest. Well, you know, he's the biggest pessimist in history.
He's one of.
So, right. But this year he's optimistic. So I hearken back to a movie called The Damn Yankees, where there was a Washington Senators fan named, I think, something like Joe Brody or something like that. And he made a deal with the devil and said he would take his soul if the Washington Senators, who are always in last place, could beat the Yankees to get in the World Series. And I believe Joe Beningo has sold his soul to the devil. And that is why the Mets will win the World Series.
That's very interesting, Steve. I still don't get how you're connected to some sort of prophet that is going to be discredited for his brilliant take on Joe Beningo selling his soul to the devil. Let me ask you a question. Why would he do it now for the Mets? Where's he? What's he been doing with the Jets for all these years? You think Beningo had a deal with the devil on the table and passed up all these Jet seasons? I doubt it. Jets would have had a Super Bowl if Beningo had such connections. Nacho in Bergen County. What's up, Nacho?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I was just, this game was a bit of a, you know, I called this game like a grounder. You know, it brought all the Mets fans to ground, to earth. You know, we're on, kind of on cloud nine a little bit. And I think it's good. You know, because, I mean, we were, like, on a high when we came out of that Philly series and basically swept the Phillies, dominated their bullpen, who many people said that we wouldn't be able to get to their bullpen. So, I just want to just mention something. I think we lost that game in the first inning because that Dodgers lineup, if you give them the confidence, they will butcher you. And we saw that against the Padres. And we saw that tonight against the Mets. And basically, I think the big thing that needs to be done is the Mets need to come back to reality, right? You know, I'm confident in this team. I've been watching the Mets my whole life. I was born a Mets fan.
Right.
So I know that it can be hard to, like, be confident after such a difficult loss like last night.
Yeah.
But look, after what we've seen with this team, and you know, and the fans know it, I mean, these past 2 weeks have probably been the best 2 weeks of most Mets fans.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I would be surprised. I would be surprised, Nacho, and thank you for the call. Listen, this loss should not shake the foundation of a Mets fan. This loss should not, you know, erode the goodwill this team has built up. It's one loss. It was an ugly one. But whether it's 9-0, 1-0, 9-8, 13-14, it doesn't matter. They lost. You move on from it. They've got their best pitcher on the mound later today. And, yeah, they didn't play well. And you could argue the game was lost early on. The momentum certainly was stolen. Whenever there's a question mark, like, for example, I hope it doesn't happen with the Yankees, but Rodon is a question mark. After his last start, they waited until the last very minute to announce him as the game one starter when it clearly lined up to be his day. They weren't sure about him or Clark Schmidt. There's things going on with the fan base and social media and his wife and family. It's a question mark whether or not how the Yankees should handle game one. And if he gives up two, three runs in the first inning, it'll feel like, man, we made the wrong call. And I don't know if that permeates through the team necessarily, but there is momentum there that the fans can feel, that the game kind of takes on, that the Dodgers see an opportunity. Oh, man, Senga, we knew we weren't going to go deep. If we could just get to Senga and really make them get to their bullpen even earlier than they want and put up zeros before we get to Peterson and put up numbers, before we get to Peterson, that'll be a big momentum swing. And sure, they gave him a gut punch early on. I don't think it's the end of the world you give up two runs in the first inning. This Mets team has come back after, you know, it's every single time, comeback after comeback after comeback. And they had their opportunities. Even after Ohtani knocks in Lux in the second, you know, you get to the fourth inning and Lindor leads off with a walk, you got an opportunity. Vientos swings at a miserable pitch. Just flails at it. And then you got Marte, can't come through with the big hit. They've had some opportunities, and then their defense let them down, and then their base running let them down. But you can make an argument to the momentum. And here's the thing about the top of the order. Like, I don't know if you can shut down the top of this Dodger order. I don't know if you can shut them down. You can quiet them a little bit. Ohtani, other than the 3-run home run in the first game of San Diego, hit 200 in that series with a lot of strikeouts. So, and Mookie Betts has traditionally been, over the last 5 years, one of, if not the worst postseason hitter team. So, can you shut them down? Sure. But you can limit them, certainly, but what's going to kill you is the Edmund single. Like, you can't let the bottom of the order kill you. You can't let Kiki Hernandez hurt you. This great Dodger team, right? This powerhouse Dodger team, high payroll, bringing in all this, spending all this money and everything. They had two sacrifice bunts in this game. Like, you can't let the eight hitter sacrifice bunt. You can't let the seven hitter get on with a single, the eight hitter sacrifice bunt him over to third, and then the nine hitter come through with an RBI hit. You can't let the bottom of this order manufacture runs to go along with the power of the top of this order. Like that, you have to shut down this part of the lineup that you expect to shut down. Because that's one of the strengths in this matchup. I'll take the Mets 7-8-9, 6-7-8-9 any day over the Dodgers 6-7-8-9. 1-2-3 is different. As much as we love Lindor, you can count Lindor 1 and the story that is Vientos and his numbers here in the postseason have been great. I mean, but you're talking about Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman. I mean, that's crazy. It's crazy they have those three. Those are three Hall of Famers. Those are three MVPs. You can try and limit them. I doubt you're going to be able to shut them down for an entire seven-game series, and they already got you in game one. But what you can't have happen is the bottom of this order manufacturing runs, the bottom of this order getting on base and flipping that lineup over to have Ohtani up with runners on. Like, you've got to limit the damage from the bottom of this order. So that Edmund single hurts you. That Hernandez single, Luck sack, sacrifice fly, that Luck sack, it just sounded weird. That Luck sack bunt, the Edmund single, like those are the things you can't have happen. The bottom of the order can't kill you because you know what the top of the order can do. But ultimately, if the Mets don't score, it's not going to matter. The offense has got to wake up and start scoring earlier. It's nice to hit grand slams in the sixth, but you can't just wait for it all the time. Mark in California. What's up, Mark?
What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, so tomorrow, Yanks play tomorrow, but this Mets team, man, I've already said it, like, you know, Kiki, they call him Mr. October for a reason, right? This Mets team hasn't had this type of adversity going up against the Phillies. Phillies, by the way, in the last month of the season, were not very good.
You're right.
Their bullpen was very shaky. Their bullpen was very good. But I would say the Mets surprised me because they beat three of the best closers in baseball. In Atlanta in that last game, and then they went up against Milwaukee, and then they went up against Suarez, who, by the way, Suarez was the best pitcher for like a month and a half. You know, not even that, since the trade deadline, he's been the best reliever. He's just unbelievable. So they beat him. This Dodger team, though, the only way the Mets beat this team is they're going to have to score 6-7 runs a game. And I'm sorry, I just don't see it happen.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. You don't think Manaea can shut this team down?
Absolutely not. The thing that I said about Ohtani, I said the same thing about the Yankees. If you can quiet Judge, that's great. But they have other hitters, like Stanton's batting 9,000 trillion in the last couple of playoffs. You have Soto playing good. You have Suarez. You have all these guys. The Dodgers are doing it without Ohtani. Ohtani doesn't have to hit home runs.
Right.
You saw him today. Two singles.
No, I agree.
Stolen base. A double. Like, he's
getting thrown out. Did he get
Judge is not doing that for the Yankees, though. He's not. He had one good game in, like,
maybe
two games to get you walked, but...
Yeah, but it's only... You know, but it was only the short series. Ohtani hit one home run. Other than that, didn't do anything. Hit 200 in the series against 200. San Diego.
Yeah, he batted 200, right. Yeah,
with a lot of strikeouts.
The thing about the Mets is they have to play small ball, because the thing about the Dodgers is they have guys that just have been here, that have done that. The Gavin Luxes, the Max Muncy's, like, Edmund, I don't care about because he's trash. We actually, I think, traded him to the Dodgers, I think, the Yankees. But, like...
He was with St. Louis.
He was with St. Louis, but the Yankees had him, traded him to St. Louis. St. Louis traded him to the Dodgers. So that's basically what it was.
Oh, okay, maybe.
We only got him for, like, a little bit of time, and then we traded him for, like, nothing, because this was, like, during, like, spring training or something.
All right, okay. But whatever the case may be. But,
he's the next big thing. Like, and he's really not, but, like... The only way I think the Mets would have to continue, it's only game one, but remember, the Dodgers injury list, which is mind-boggling to me, that 33 consecutive innings, which is crazy, but they're missing guys. Like, they're missing Glasnow, Ohtani's not even pitching. You got Kershaw, Gonsolin, Dustin May. Like, they're missing these guys that would be, like, number one.
Yeah, but they're, but they're not here.
Right. But,
so what does that matter?
It's so impressive, like, what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, but you make it sound like the Mets have had the best offense in the sport practically for the last couple of months, and they're deeper to me. The bottom of the order is much deeper than Lux and Edmund. Like, I think you look at this lineup, it's not as top-heavy, no doubt, But Lindor's had an MVP-type season. Vientos has a 1,000 OPS in the postseason. Alonso, since hitting that clutch home run, and that's they keep coming up with big home runs and big hits.
Yeah, like, you can say the same thing about the Yankees.
And they've pitched really well. No, you can't say that about the Yankees. You cannot. I mean, yeah, okay, Stanton hit a big home run. They've only played four games. The Mets have been doing this for 2 weeks. The Mets have beaten teams a myriad of ways. I'm sorry. The Dodgers lineup is very good. And you might end up being right. I'm not saying it's a crazy premise what you're saying, but you think it's impossible the Mets win game 2-3-1? You think that's impossible with Manaea, the way he's been pitching on the mound? I don't think that's impossible at all. They can win this game 3-1. They can win this game 4-2. They can win this game 2-1. Why not? Absolutely they can. I don't want to sign up for two runs scored. I mean, on some level, you'd like to score more than that, but they can't win that way. You absolutely can. Absolutely, they can shut down this lineup. Absolutely, it's the playoffs. It's a game. Anything could happen. That's how good Manaea's been. We're not giving Manaea credit. Severino's been good. Quintana's been good. Like this rotation's good. The names don't sound it necessarily. Oh, you know, if you were going into the season, Manaea was someone you hoped would latch on and give you a year. He was coming out of the bullpen for San Francisco. Severino was terrible last year to the point where I literally said the Yankees aren't serious about winning because they kept throwing him out there. Quintana barely pitched, was injured. But it's not April. It's after an entire season of Manaea being friggin' lights out for half the year. Manaea he just shut down Philadelphia. I know this lineup, you could argue, is better than Philadelphia. Philadelphia's got MVPs as well, you know. Kyle Schwarber is one of the better home run hitters in postseason history and certainly recent history. Bryce Harper's a Hall of Famer. Castellanos is a damn good hitter. JT Realmuto is one of the better hitting catchers in the sport. He shut them down. He can't shut down the Dodgers? Sure he can.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Tim Britton, who covers the Mets for The Athletic, is reporting that Brandon Nimmo is dealing with a pretty bad case of plantar fasciitis. That he's been dealing with it since May, but he's re-aggravated it, and it's got quite a bit worse. And that's why, you know, he was seen, I mean, I guess limping, or just, you know, I just will call it limping. He was seen limping a bit in this game, and then obviously he's pinch hit for in the ninth. So with Nimmo dealing with this, and you know, plantar fasciitis is no joke. I mean, that's painful, and your feet are everything. I mean, I know that's stupid. It's obvious. You need your feet, like, but it is. It's true. I mean, hitting, doing anything baseball-wise without having, you know, a healthy stance or the ability to push off, or like, it's tough. So we're dealing with that. I mean, I don't know. Could this lead to, you know, McNeely's on this roster? Could you see Nimmo if he struggles in game two, if he struggles with this? That's a big blow. Nimmo has been important to them. He definitely went through a stretch where he was awful. Like, he got hot when the team got hot at the end of May, early June. Was great for a while, carried the team, then went through a hellacious slump for a while. But he's had his moments here. He's had big home runs here in the postseason. He's played well in the postseason. This is a blow for the New York Mets if he's really dealing with something that's getting worse and worse and could take him out of the lineup. So I'll read more on it. Mike just alerted me to the story. I'm going to give it a read. But ultimately, he's been dealing with it, and he's aggravated it, and it's getting worse. And it's something he's dealing with right now. And if you want to beat the Dodgers, you got to be at full strength. You just got to be at full strength. The Mets aren't good. Like, as much as we like, let's be honest, right? Because I do think this is a decent matchup for the Mets. You know, considering all the injuries, if the Dodgers were at full strength, you know, this might be a different series. If their rotation certainly was at full strength, maybe this would be a different series. But where it is and as it stands today, I do believe the Mets are just as good, you know, right now on par with the Dodgers. They got beat up in game one, no doubt. But having said that, the Mets aren't good enough to really have issues. The Mets aren't good enough to have a Nimmo who can't function with a bad foot. The Mets aren't good enough to throw Kodai Senga out for an inning and get, you know, hit around. The Mets aren't good enough to have bad base running. The Mets aren't good enough to have Pete Alonso have a bad play at first base and lollipop a throw that doesn't allow to get a force at second base. They're not good enough to, in my mind, catch a ball flat-footed in the outfield and give Mookie Betts a run. I'm surprised he didn't take, or misplay balls from Marte in the outfield. Like, they're just not good enough. They're not good enough to overcome that. What we've seen from this Met team, they were two outs away from being beaten by Milwaukee. Two outs away. And they've had this magic potion, no doubt. And they've had these remarkable moments, and they have come up big in every big spot. Whether it's Lindor, whether it's Marte, who's had a great run here with underappreciated hits probably throughout this thing, whether it's Alonso with that home run, Winker, whoever. Iglesias, who's been okay in the postseason, but he's come through with big hits here and there. Obviously, Vientos, like whoever it is, they need every bit of it if they're going to want to beat the Dodgers, because the Dodgers are legit, and this is no joke. This is the NLCS. This is a battle to get to the World Series, and they need to be at full strength. So we'll see. We'll monitor the Nimmo thing. We'll see if he's even in the lineup. I would imagine he would be later today. But this is a huge game for the New York Mets. Huge. Huge. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris. You know, maybe this is just a case of the Mets finally hit the wall, you know, emotionally at least.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe this, you know, just one of those things. They're human. This has been like a high wire act for a couple of weeks.
Yep.
And they have excelled. And I'll tell you, with that being said, I fully expected them to score 9 runs in the 7th. I swear to God. I swear to God.
I thought they would do Lindor walked in the 4th, I thought they had an opportunity to get back into the game. And then even, you know, when was it? Then the Winker base hit, right? Well, the Winker, there's nobody out. You can have first and third, nobody out, and Winker runs into the out. I mean, those are things this Mets team hasn't done during this stretch.
Right, and just, you know, they're human. I mean, you know, maybe this was just the hit-the-wall game and, you know, like regroup and tomorrow, you know, today.
Yeah.
They'll, you know.
Absolutely. I thought you meant like hit the wall and this is it. Like, I don't think, this game doesn't necessarily, again, this should not shake the foundation of any Met fan who's learned to believe here. Right? For any of you positive Tommy disciples, this should not shake you to your core. This is a bad loss. They got beat. It's one game. It's almost easier to take than like blowing a lead or having Diaz be, you know, clipped again in the 9th. Like, they just got beat. Senga didn't have it. It put them in a tough spot the rest of the way. Peterson probably looked the worst he's looked in a while. The offense did absolutely nothing. Their guy Flaherty, who they traded for at the deadline, came through with a big performance of 7 shutout innings, and you got beat 9-0. It was never a game. There was a couple of key moments that you didn't come up with the big hit that you have been coming up with for 2 weeks, and it's just, to me, it's a ho-hum loss, 9-0. And you move on. For you history buffs, you'll remember the 1960 World Series. The Yankees pounded the Pirates in all their victories, and they were close games in all their losses. Doesn't matter. You don't get, this isn't, you know, college football. You don't get bonus points. This is it. It's win or loss, one bad loss. You flush it, you got your best pitcher on the mound. They might have hit a wall yesterday, and I think they came out flat a little bit. It was probably the first time they've had somewhat of an extended break, a couple of days, without having to play. They had Senga on the mound, immediately put them in a hole. Things started to turn in the wrong direction. They had a tough time steering it back in the right. I think it's fine. It happens. It's one of these games you typically lose. It doesn't mean anything more to me than now they have to win today. It doesn't mean anything more to me than, well, now they're in a series. I did not expect them to sweep the Dodgers. I feel like this was a game the Dodgers, if the Dodgers lose this game, right? Like if the Dodgers were to lose yesterday and lose with Kodai Senga going 2-3, maybe four innings, I suppose, with their second best pitcher on the mound in that spot, game one, with Manaea pitching game two. Like, all in all, the team that had to win the game won the game. And now it flips to the Mets, and they have to win the game. And I expect Manaea to pitch great. I disagree with the call before. I don't think, you think Manaea can't get through this lineup? I absolutely think he can. I expect him to. That's how good he's been. I expect him to pitch well. I expect him to give me six or seven innings, one or two runs. That's what he does. I'm not saying he's going to throw a no-hitter or a shutout, but he's going to get, I fully expect him to get through six or seven innings, giving up one, two, or maybe three runs. Like, it's a solid, at the very worst, I expect a solid performance. That's what he's been all year long, and on his best day, he's going to give you better than that. The new crossfire arm slot has been dynamic since he's made the change. He had an in-season change that transformed him to a guy having a nice little season to a dominant starting pitcher. That's what he's been. And it's time to prove it yet again, and that's what he's done. Against the big bad. And I know I've had some fun with the Mets on this a little bit. I know I've been in the Mets corner. I'm rooting for the Mets. I still am. Today's not the day to talk about the Subway Series because the Yankees haven't started and the Mets are down 1-0. But like, I'm rooting for the Mets. And, you know, I really don't want to make it because the Dodgers are good. I don't want to make it David and Goliath because I don't think it's fair to call the Mets David, to be totally honest with you. They have the highest payroll in the sport. I understand the two pitchers who aren't here. I understand where some of that money's gone. But you know what? Not everybody the Dodgers are paying are here in this series. Not everybody the Yankees are paying are on this roster. They have the highest payroll in the sport. And the three top teams, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Mets are all in the postseason. And I thought that was a little fun too because we've taken so many calls about how this format helps the wild card. The Mets are the only wild card in here. Every other team's got a bye. Three out of the four are wild card. Three out of the four are the highest payroll teams in the sport. Like we're bucking a couple of very trendy trends. I shouldn't have said trendy. We're bucking a couple of very like niche trends that people like to point to and go, well, you know, listen, money doesn't mean everything. Look at all these. The Arizona Diamondbacks are in the World Series and the wild card and these days off are hurting the better teams. Well, three highest payrolls are all in the Final Four, and every single bye team, only the Philadelphia Phillies got their toe stubbed. The Mets are the only wild card team left. The big bad Dodgers are here, but you know what? The Mets are not David. And they've got to win a game today, and then the series is back to being a series. 888-808-1019. All right, we'll continue to take your Met phone calls. We will. And at some point, we'll transition to the Yankees as well, because I love baseball, and playoff baseball is fun. But something else happened last night on our special New York Sports Sunday, leading into our special, even more special, New York Sports Monday. But the Giants played a football game, if you can call it that. And what I thought was going to have to be a shootout, and we were going to answer the question, can Daniel Jones hang in a shootout, prime time, at home? We got our answer. Even though it wasn't a shootout, we got our answer.